Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, we're going to begin our reading in verse 16. This is God's word. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" "I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel, and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves, and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire, he is God." Then all the people said, "What you say is good." Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. Call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire." So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. "O Baal, answer us," they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. "Shout louder," he said. "Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is deep in thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened." So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears as was their custom until the blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it, large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood." "Do it again," he said, and they did it again. "Do it a third time," he ordered, and they did it the third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, Let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so that these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God! The Lord, He is God!" Then Elijah commanded them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let anyone get away." They seized them, and Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valley and slaughtered there. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain." So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. "Go and look toward the sea," he told his servant. And he went up and looked. "There is nothing," he said. Seven times Elijah said, "Go back." The seventh time, the servant reported, "A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea." So Elijah said, "Go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, the wind rose, a heavy rain came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It's obviously a very dramatic scene, but it is filled with lessons for us. The first thing I want you to see is who's the troublemaker. When Ahab, this wicked king, comes and sees Elijah, whom he's been searching for in order to kill him, he says, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" Elijah says, "I'm not the one causing trouble for Israel. I've seen over and over and over and over with person after person after person after person that when people violate blatantly, horribly what God commands, and then things don't turn out well for them, instead of blaming themselves, they blame somebody else. Ultimately, they blame God. God gives us the capacity to make choices. And when we make crummy choices, violating what he's commanded, don't be surprised if it turns out that a loving God told us don't do that because he's a loving God. And he created everything and knows how things work. If you do what God says, you will find that yes, there's still suffering in a fallen world, but life is so much better when you suffer for doing right than when you suffer for doing wrong. Who is the troubler of Israel? Not Elijah, it was Ahab. Don't blame God for the consequences of your bad choices. Second, there's a contest here. He says, go get the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah. Bring them here. And summon all the people of Israel. There's going to be a contest. As far as Elijah is concerned, he is the sole representative of God. Now, he's already been told by Obadiah earlier in the chapter that there are some other prophets hiding out, okay, in caves for their lives, just like Elijah had been hiding out in a foreign country to protect his life in obedience to God. But now Elijah stands there and he says, I am the Lord's sole representative. How do you like these odds? Okay, 850-1. Who's going to win? We live in a world that is hostile toward the truth. And if you follow Jesus Christ, you're going to find a lot of opposition. You're going to find people who are hostile to you because you represent the Lord. But let me tell you, only from a human perspective are you outnumbered. Remember David and Goliath. Remember Daniel in the lion's den, or Daniel's friends in the fiery furnace. Whatever you're up against, Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but don't be afraid. I've already overcome the world. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. If you're trusting in Jesus and you're seeking to follow him, you do not have to be afraid. He didn't say you wouldn't go through hard times. What he says is, there is nothing they can do to harm you. Even if they kill you, they can't harm you. If God is there, the battle belongs to the Lord. And if you are there in obedience to God, you better believe God is there. God's the one who set up the contest, and God is the one who answers prayer. If you look at verses 26 and 29, it says that when the prophets of Baal shouted, no one answered. No one answered. The false God does not answer. The false God cannot satisfy. The false God cannot meet your deepest need. Instead, those who worshiped Baal, those who led others in worshiping Baal, ended up harming themselves. They cut themselves until the blood flowed, as was their custom. What happens if you devote yourself to something other than God as God? What happens if you're an idolater? You're not just left empty. You end up wounded and bleeding and dying, destroyed, because Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He'll promise you satisfaction, but he can't deliver. He cannot deliver. The only one who can satisfy is Jesus. Elijah repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins, after he had taunted the prophets of Baal, making it clear that there is no help from Baal. The questions he asked them when he was taunting them. Some people think Elijah shouldn't do this. You know, it's really not kind. It's not a winsome way of reaching people. He wasn't trying to reach the prophets of Baal. He knew that these people, the people of Israel, who were being misled by the prophets of Baal, were the ones he was trying to bring back to the Lord. The prophets of Baal had a death sentence on them. That comes later in the chapter. Because they weren't just sinning, they were leading others into sin. By the way, all of us mess up sometimes. But what you will really be in trouble for is if you lead somebody else into sin. Jesus said, if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, he'd be better off with a millstone tied around his neck and drowned in the depths of the sea. People who try and get other people to do bad things, who try and influence people to do bad things, will answer to God. Now, as he taunted them, he said, shout louder. Surely he is a god. Perhaps he's deep in thought or busy. The ESV translates that more literally, which is relieving himself. In other words, perhaps he's in the bathroom. Perhaps he's deep in thought or relieving himself or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened. So they shouted louder and louder, cut themselves. But let me tell you, there was no one to awaken. Baal is not the one that answers. And so he rebuilds the altar of the Lord. 12 stones, one for each tribe. And then he does something else regarding the number 12. He has them get 4 large jars, fill them with water, and pour them over the altar, over the bull that has been placed on the altar, over the wood that is there on the altar, over the stones, and filling the ditch. Why? Because it eliminated any opportunity for God's enemies to say, well, I wonder if he sneaked in some burning coals or something that would go. No, there was not going to be any room for doubt. And so this water is poured over there, 12 pourings, 4 jars, 3 times. And then Elijah prayed. He prayed that God would reveal himself, that God would send fire. And our main point for today, Elijah prayed, I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. All what things? Well, how about calling for a contest where there's one of me and there's 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah? How about calling for a contest where the winner is the one who sends fire to consume the offering? How about building the altar and pouring water all over it? Why would he do such a thing? Because it was God's idea. God was the one who had told him exactly what to do, where to do it, and when to do it. And so, as Elijah prays, he prays, Lord, I want them to know that you are God. Answer me, O Lord. Answer me so that these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Is that your desire for other people? Is your hope that they would know that you're a nice person, or that you're intelligent, or that you're athletic, or that you're talented? Or do you want them to know that God is God? What is your heart's cry for others? Elijah wanted the people of Israel to know the God of Israel. And he had asked them at the start of this story, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, serve him. And if Baal is God, serve him. But you can't have it both ways. So, God answered. The fire fell. Even the water in the ditch was consumed. It was all burned up. And what did the people do at that point? They fell prostrate on the ground. They fell flat on the ground. And they cried out, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. When a sacrifice is consumed, that's a good thing. But it's a reminder of the fact that the whole sacrificial system was put in place pointing to the fact that we needed someone to take our place because we deserve to be destroyed. We deserve to die. That first sacrifice that God offered in the garden when Adam and Eve had sinned was to sacrifice animals in order to provide a covering of skins, animal skins, to cover the shame of Adam and Eve, our first parents. When Cain brought a bunch of fruit from his farming and Abel offered up a lamb, God looked with favor on Abel's sacrifice, not on Cain's. Why? Because we don't need to give God a little bit of what we grow and think that that's really all that's needed. Just, I know I've made some mistakes. I want to try and make up for it. We deserve to die. We need someone else to do that for us. And Jesus did. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So, this sacrifice was consumed. The people worshiped God. And Elijah said, okay, you take all those prophets now. Nice that they're all here. Take them down in the Kishon Valley because it's time for them to die. And they took them down in the valley and they slaughtered them there. Pastor, I just don't think we ought to talk about things like that. I mean, people being slaughtered because they were not of our faith. Okay, let me just remind you, these were not just demon worshipers. They were people who got other people to worship demons and who called for the slaughter of anybody who didn't. These prophets weren't just a bunch of corrupt clergy. These prophets of Baal were people who wanted all of God's prophets killed. And now they had to pay the bill. And so they're slaughtered. I just can't believe that a God who is by nature love would call for the death of his enemies. Do you think you're more loving than God? God is the one who defines what love is, because he is love. And he is holy, holy, holy. And therefore, in love, he graciously warns people, judgment is coming. Repent. Repent. Turn. And then one more thing happened that I want us to see. God had told Elijah, go, confront Ahab. This is what you're to do. And then I'm going to send rain. What did Elijah do after this contest is over? He tells Ahab, you go celebrate. You go have a meal. Okay? You can eat and drink. He went to pray. He didn't celebrate. He went to prayer. He got down on his knees before God. And he's crying out to God to do what? To send rain. Well, God already said he was going to. Yeah. But Elijah knew that what God wants of us in relationship with him is to pray. What did Jesus do? He prayed and 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 prayed. After he fed the multitudes, before he went walking on the lake, what was he doing? He was praying. He was up on the mountain praying. After he had done all kinds of miracles and healed all kinds of people, then early in the morning, while everybody else was still asleep, where did Jesus go? He went and got alone and prayed. God's going to do what God's going to do. Why do we need to pray? Because God wants us to. And how long did he pray? He prayed until he got his answer. He prayed and it's like, I know God told me this, so I believe God's going to do it, and that's why I'm praying. He sends his servant, and he says, go look and see if you see anything. Nothing. Okay. He prays some more. All right, now go check. Nothing. Seven times. Good number. Seven times he sends his servant. Go look. Do you see it? And finally the servant says, oh, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand. That's not a very big cloud. But it's going to be. Elijah's like, okay, tell Ahab to get in his chariot and head for home. And then Ahab got in his chariot, headed for home, and Elijah outran him. How is that possible? That's got to be a myth. No, it explains it right in the text. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him and enabled him to do that. You think God could really enable someone to do that? Of course. So I had Elijah, he must have had some real legs. No, he had a real God. You have a real God? There's only one. I hope he's yours. Trust him and do what he says. God chooses to work miracles in the context of obedience. Elijah said, Lord, please show them I did all this because you said so. Are you walking in obedience today?
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.